in programming, there's this thing called a loop. As long as something is true, you keep doing the same thing over and over. If you have a newborn on the way, then you go out to drive all day. As long as the bills are due, your phone has another rider calling for you. But that check engine light ain't going away. And you live in your car all day. Everyone says tech is the truth, but are you down to break that loop?
Okay, hey, what's up, everyone? I'm John Davey, and we're back with another episode of the podcast, Tech or Die. And for those that don't know, I'm an instructor. I've been an instructor for about 3+ years, and just in general in the tech space, whether as a consultant, computer sales, webmaster, IT support, I'm looking at 12+ years of getting that type of work out the way. Good afternoon, Albert. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, John. How about yourself?
Doing fine. And I'm feeling great because I get to catch up with one of my favorite learners, L. We work together in terms of, navigating his career and getting him up to speed, specifically on the certification side with the A+. And I believe, did we target the Net+ too in that class?
Yes. And a Google IT support professional certification.
Oh, that's a full plate. So anyone that went through that program, they already know the war stories of studying and getting up to speed in IT.
Absolutely. It was definitely a challenge doing all three, but it was for the best. It wasn't easy, but, it's one of those things where you're like, whoa, wait, I don't think this is possible. But I mean, it was definitely good team spirit. We had a great group of persons at the time. Also, we had you. You definitely helped us pioneer through all that stuff, John. I will kid you not. It was challenging, but it was possible and it was done. So,
yeah, it was worth it. It was a very challenging endeavor, but it was totally worth it at the end. What's your current role? I looked you up on LinkedIn when we started talking the other day, and I saw the title, but as you know, in IT, the title and what you do varies from business to business, sometimes business department to business department. So what is your current role?
That is so true. What I found is a lot of times a lot of people have these titles and what they do is totally different. Mine is no exception. I currently, I'm a tech analyst at AMB Group. It's the parent company for all of, would be Arthur Blank's companies, right? And so my day-to-day responsibilities would more seem like a system admin versus a tech analyst. I'm touching everything from point of sales right down to Fortinet switches, firewalls, you name it. Meraki, VoIP systems, everything you could think of, just, scripting, everything you could think of. So it's more of a system admin versus just a tech analyst, like you said earlier.
And in your day-to-day experience, when you possibly think back to when you were a learner and when you were first encountering some of these tech concepts, whether it was in class with us or in previous scenarios, do you ever think to yourself, what was the gap between what you knew then and what you knew now? And how much was that learned on the job?
Wow. I'd have to go with sense of direction. Sense of direction is what I understand now to be such a key area for so many persons out there who are lost, right? All they need is the right person to guide them in the right direction, because coming into office, I had no idea where I was going, what I was doing, why should I do this certification? Why should I do that one, right? But also, it's important for the person who's teaching, right, to kind of, we had this thing in our session with you, John, where you would break away. Before we got into it, we had these tech news that, you know, everyone had to, you know, tell something about what they heard on the news about tech, anything, right? And then we had these informal sessions where you would give us scenarios about the environment, the current tech environment, saying it's important to learn the tech side of things, but most importantly, go to these meetups, meet people, network with people. And what I found was a lot of the things that were in the informal session were so true about the tech world out there, right? It's like you could learn the tech, but you can't just learn another personality, right? And going to these meetups and meeting with the right people and networking, it kind of creates this other layer of your personality, you know, like make you, like you said, more digestible to other people. So I would have to say sense of direction, man. So you, that way, I was lucky. I know I've probably reached out to you and said this a couple of times that, hey man, thank you for some of those informal sessions, because those are what kind of got me to where I am now. And it's been great for me in the tech world, John. It's been great. Okay.
Yeah, there, you know, there's a lot to unpack with that. There's a lot of times in that initial process, especially in a boot camp environment, in which there's doubt. And it's doubt from the left, doubt from the right. There's uncertainty. There's, you know, questions about experience. And you look at the job description and you look at the experience requirement and you look at where you are and you allegedly can't point to any experience. But, you know, there's times where you just have to keep kind of pushing through and you have to kind of step back and see, well, a whole bunch of people are doing this. And what separates them from me? Nothing. I have the willpower. I have the ability to, you know, educate myself and follow through with a game plan. So, you know, I have to lean in on faith on this one. And, you know, sometimes people need to hear that just to kind of push forward.
Right. It's weird because, I mean, thinking back to when I was going through the whole process, it's important to have a great support system and the desire, right? And for me, my desire was like, I was having a newborn coming into this world and I'm starting to spiral out of control. Like, what the hell am I going to do when it comes to parents there, right? I might have to go in. What does your dad do? Who, you know, stuff like that. How am I going to provide for this kid consistently? You know, how am I going to support this family? So at the back of my mind, it was that fear of not being able, not being enough, right? There were days too when I felt like, look, my first role is to provide for my family. I know is important. It's going to get me to the next level. But right now, in this moment, I need to provide, which was me going out there and hustling, Ubering on the road, right? And I had my times when I would just feel like I'm not waking up going to today. I'm just going to call it quits. But the fear factor of not being enough was a lot more stronger than me thinking about not waking up that morning going to, you know what I mean? And I had other peers who were going through similar situations who, you know, we could talk to, like, hey man, I'm going through this. And he's like, yeah, I'm going through that. And that type of situation helps you to kind of, you know, show up the next morning and kind of be that accountability partner like we have in the class. Like, hey, bro, you got to come this morning, bro. He's like, yo, I'm late. I don't want to come. Like, no, just show up, bro. John will take care of that, or Brandy will take care of that, but just show up. Half the battle is showing up. And I don't think a lot of people knew what each other really were going through. I had days when I had like $200 in my pocket. So like, you know what I mean? And all I could think of is, how soon is class going to be over? I got to get out there and make that extra 200 because your groceries at the end of the week, right? So again, the desire and that fear. People, we all need to have a healthy balance of fear, not fear as in like, I can't do this, I'm not going to do it, but fear as in, if I don't do this, then the worst could happen, right? Get that pivot to move forward. So look, it's crazy. I guess as we go along, I could get into more details of just the everyday, you know.
I what you said resonated 100% with me, my experiences, my perspective, and my outlook on things. And, you know, it's like a known thing in psychology where, you know, the pleasure, the rich home, the fancy car, the nice clothes, that's a motivating factor indeed. But what really gets us off our ass and get going is, you know, they're going to kick me out, or I got to take care of a newborn baby. And I've got kids and I got responsibilities, or I've got an aging parent and I don't want them to go out in a certain way. So it's like you said, it's a healthy respect, a healthy balance of fear, a healthy balance of understanding that you can use those feelings to push and motivate you to do things that you previously thought were not possible. And
right.
Yeah, it constantly works. It's not the pleasure, it's the pain that you are trying to avoid.
Yeah, that is true. And you know, I think about even sometimes I would wake up in the mornings, like from Mondays to Fridays, I was only getting 2 to 3 hours of sleep, because from the moment I wake up, right, it's me getting ready at 7 a.m. to get to by 9. You know you can't be late, right?
Right, right.
So definitely getting there on time, fighting the traffic to get there. Once I get there, I'm unpacking, you know, just getting ready to absorb everything. But with everything that's going on in your life on the personal side, it makes it so difficult to just soak up the knowledge. And by the time you get out at 4 or 4:30, you know, you are fighting traffic to get back home. By the time you get home, you got to read these 30 pages, right? Then after you read the 30 pages, you also got to read another 30 to make sure you get ready for class tomorrow. Then you do the other course for Google. And then by the time you get done doing some of those assessments, you know, oh, I got it wrong, I got to do it all over again. Then by the time you know it, it's 3 a.m. in the morning, and you got a newborn baby, like, you know, waking up too for food, right? He's screaming and you got to push through all those, the homework and all that. And you're like, yeah, I had days when I would fall asleep around the steering wheel, man, right? I pulled up at a gas station one night just to get some gas. And by the time I pulled up, I was fast asleep. Someone had touched me on the shoulder like, hey, you okay? And I'm telling you, today, though, it was all worth it. It was all worth it. If I had to do it again, I would. Minus the part about falling asleep around the steering wheel, because that was really serious.
Very, very dangerous indeed. But and that's when you reach that point in your life where you're thinking, you know, things have to change. I literally have to get going in tech or whatever it is I'm trying to do, or die. As the name of the podcast is, you know, I have to get to a place where I'm not in this position where I'm risking my life just to, you know, take care of my responsibilities. And so, yeah, again, I can totally relate to that. As you can imagine, I've come across several, you know, I would say scores of people in scenarios that were sometimes dire, to the point where, you know, they're on the edge and just, you know, getting through today is the only thing that matters. But, you know, we are here and we are going forward and we're in our current role. What do you like about your current role?
Oh, man, my current role right now, it's just learning, man. Like I said, it's almost like I'm working for an MSP, right? Where you are either managing or trying to keep things at baseline level at 50 locations, at the headquarters, at the call center. Learning everything as much as possible, because you know how tech is. Things are ever changing. It's a constant change. And you never want to pass up a moment where you can get that hands-on, unadulterated training from your coworker or your peer, whoever it is. But I think that's what I enjoy the most right now, just being exposed to the financial technology part of the business, right? The business processes. And I primarily focus on the golf part of the business. So I'm enjoying getting to know golf and understanding all that makes golf what it is. And I'll tell you, that's another story, because it's not just swinging a stick and hitting a ball. As a matter of fact, they'll be mad at you if you call it a stick. You gotta say it's a club, right? Mm-hmm. So it's great. On Fridays, we might pull up a tile, which turns into a putting course, and we just putt around the office and, you know, de-stress. We might go inside the simulating room and go knock a few balls and, you know, de-stress, and go back and sit down and get in front of the problem again and, you know, see if you could storm through it. So with my current position, I would say the learning aspect is great. That's what I'm enjoying right now, John, in this moment. Can't pay for that.
Right. Yeah. You know, a good workplace culture can sometimes be the difference, you know, with all things being equal, or sometimes even not equal with respect to the pay in one role versus the pay in the other. You know, I always tell people, and I always, you know, when looking around the landscape for my own personal research purposes, reach out to people. Hey, what's it like working at X, Y, and Z? Or, you know, what do you like about that situation? Because you want to get a sense of the culture. You want to get a sense of what you may be applying to or stepping into. If you are given an opportunity for an interview and you do get the job, so to speak, you want to understand where you're working and what type of people you're going to be working with. And is that a good fit? Because it can affect your day-to-day. You're going to spend a lot of time with these people. You're going to spend the majority of your time throughout the week in that environment. So it has to be an environment that's a good fit.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, walking into that company the very first time, I knew I was home. Because I walked up there and I there was no one at the front desk, as a matter of fact. And, you know, about 3-4 persons walked in and they were like, so vibrant, right? Like, hey, good morning. How can I help you? Like, are you looking for someone? Can I, you know, and that kind of attitude, you already knew, like, okay, the first person, you could be lucky. The second person, all right, chance. The third, the fourth, the fifth, you're like, okay, all right, these guys are too nice, right? So you start saying to yourself, all right, this is where I want to be. This is where I want to, I guess, bring my personality. And I guess being able to go to bed on Sunday nights and not worrying about where you're going tomorrow is such a great feeling, man.
Man, listen, L, let me tell you, when I first stepped on the scene at I used to come flying into work, like, you know, like those wrestlers, like The Rock, when they come running down the ring and sliding in and stomp on Stone Cold Steve Austin. I used to come flying in like, who wants what? Let's go. You know, I was ready. I was ready because I put in so much work. But it was also because the people I was working with were just so dope. And it was just like, it was just an amazing experience. So I know that feeling, and I wish that on everyone. At some point, you get that job where you show up and you're like, let's go. I'm so ready.
Yeah, you just wake up and go, right? It doesn't even feel like work. You know, so we also work remote, and we got days where we just get up and still go into work, right? Because, you know, the environment is not terrible. So if you're working at home or you're working in the office, it's just not much of a difference. You have that family feeling. But, you know, one of the great things about the people that I work with now, too, is everyone is so open to teach you or show you what they got. But you have to put the effort out there, right? No one's going to really grab you and be like, hey, come and learn this, right? They might, but you still have to be like, hey, you got time? You mind if I put 30 minutes on your schedule, on the calendar, just to see how you, you know, do that thing right there or how you, you know, configure that? And in most cases, I mean, I've had experiences too where persons are just like, no, you shouldn't have, you know, any privileges to see that or touch that, right? And those are the persons you do not want to be rocking with, because in our environment, you know, we could have just read-only permissions where you can't change anything, right? So I would say once you get around to people who are open teaching you and showing you, just grab it, because there are two things I understand out there that makes you I guess, acceptable in the environment, right? One is either you're certified or you have the experience, right? And I know a lot of people bank on their degrees, but I mean, what I've seen now, especially in the tech field, is that, yeah, you have a degree, but do you have a specialized skill set or a specialized knowledge, right? Do you have a focus on network or security, right? And they don't get the job because they either don't have the experience or the certification. You know what I mean? So it's that playing field, man. Absorb, learn, be grateful. Try to be happy. Try some way to pivot into the kind of person people want to be around, right?
Very important last line right there, because, you know, we are in a tech space, and it's somewhat of a meritocracy in terms of your ability to learn and read and understand things can help you stand out from other candidates. But at the end of the day, people hire people they want to be around.
Factual statement, John. Factual statement. I had one guy one time, I believe, came in for an interview. Well, it wasn't even a guy, it was a young lady, came in for an interview, and at the front desk, she met with the front desk manager and introduced herself. Right, she's here for an interview. And after the interview, we happened to run into the front desk lady, and she was like, yeah, that girl, she's ugly. I don't think she fits the environment, right? Mm-hmm. And she wasn't even talking about, you know, physical attribute. She's just talking about her personality. Mm. She was like, you know, she was kind of smuggy, but as soon as she seen the hiring person coming towards her, she totally switched from, you know, a kind of a weird, rude kind of person, you know. And it's another thing I learned in life, man. There are certain people who are called gatekeepers in life, right? And they might not hold the important title, or they might not be the person who are hitting the last button, but they are. So, it's kind of like a guy out there on the street sitting around a drug dealer, right? Or a kingpin. And, you know, he's just the guy who the dealer might send out to go buy his food, his lunch, his coffee, whatever. That same guy, you know, you might see him in the streets and just like don't think much of him, but you might show up and be like, hey, man, I'm here to see such and such. That might be the little, I guess, crackhead guy or something who might just say, hey, boss, that guy's not a good guy, man. Don't trust him. Don't trust him, you know. And he's not in a place to call the shots. But at the same time, he could be that one guy who just kills your meeting or a very important meeting for you with the boss, so to speak, right? You never know. So I think the word is, I don't know, being the kind of person people want to be around, right?
Consistently.
Yeah. And I've seen persons who hold important titles too. They hold a title. They're not as sharp as they should be at their job. And what I see is they are kind of weeded out because of their arrogant personality, right? They don't have the personality to say, hey, oh, I don't know this, let me learn it, right? They're just like, oh, I already got the job, I got the title, I get paid this much. And yeah, you know, don't be that guy. Don't be the arrogant, loud guy. Try to be humble and just, as I said, keep your head down, man, grind, learn, absorb, jump at opportunities, right? As soon as, they'll ask you, hey, who could go grab these boxes out the hall, right? That's not your job description, right? It's not something you're hired to do, but it just shows your aptitude to help. You know what I'm saying? It's just a lot of non-tech attributes that separate you as a great tech from just the average tech guy out there, John. And, if it's one thing that I could call back on when I was in class, man, is that moment when I think it was, what's his name again? Geez, I can't remember his name. But it's kind of like there was, a little bit of a rough altercation. And you had to step in and pull the guy aside. I'm like, hey, man, you got to remember, like, why you're here, right? You're not here for this. You're here to, learn and, that calm personality, that's you talking. Hey, that 2 minutes talk kind of get, I think it was, I think. Yeah.
I remember. And I have that conversation maybe once a class. Sometimes when we were on site, I would take him over by the hotel. There's a pool table in a bar somewhere, and that would be my office, And I'd have conversations with people, and it's always, when you're trying to help someone or direct someone, it's always best to not, if possible, not do it public, because then people are more receptive to hearing your message and where you're trying to, impart on them. But yeah, I remember that for sure.
Yeah. And, like myself as well, since I've been out there in the field, John, I've seen so many crazy things happen. I've seen where people who are qualified for the job, they're smart, right? The smartest guy in the room, right? Shows up for a position and he just doesn't get the position because no one in the office environment wants to work with you, right? And that's a bad thing. You're the smartest guy on the team, right? And someone that's not as, I would say, sharp as you technically shows up for the interview and get the job because, again, you could learn the tech part of things, but you can't just learn a new personality, right? And I've sat and watched a lot of those situations played out since I've been in the tech field. I mean, since I've been in the tech field, I remember one instance, man. I think my first job outside of I was working with this guy, and he's also kind of arrogant, but long and short of the story was a client called and he had some issues with his Mac computer. I think it was Parallel. I don't know if you're familiar with Parallel, but it's supposed to be an emulator for a Windows system running on a Mac. And this guy is a top, he was a top client for a bank. We were doing software implementations at the time with this bank switching over to a new banking system being bought out by the other bank. And I was out there speaking with the gentleman, and he asked me, hey, I had this system running on my computer, and for whatever reason, it just stopped. And, I've been told before that Macs can't run this program. And I'm like, I wouldn't say it can't. it might be possible. Just give me 2 minutes. Let me just pull my resources and see what I can find. Boom, I found something that says, hey, I could definitely run an EXE file on a Mac system, right? But anyway, I called a supervisor just to, you know, just to have some checks and balances, making sure that I'm not, you know, overstepping, overreaching. And he shows up, he's like, wow, man, you don't know an EXE file can't run on a Mac computer? Like, man, if you don't know that, you don't deserve to be here, right? And I'm like, whoa. I think also too, it was 9 o'clock and he wanted to go leave and go home. Mm. But again, I was just like, no, I'm sure I've seen this before. So I reached out to someone outside of my workspace and they were like, oh yeah, it's something that we could do. All we got to do is to really transfer that file through a was a web platform and then download it to the Mac and it could be done. And he stood right there and watched me do it. Right?
Nice.
The next is crazy. This guy is he's telling you, look, and he was also Caucasian, right? And you're looking at it like, wow, I'm this black dude in the room. Like, you really gonna just say that, right?
Yeah, but that's a whole nother, sorry to cut you off, that's a whole nother element that just got added to the scene,
right? And you know, I had to just set my feelings aside in the moment and handle what was supposed to be handled. It was hard for me to continue to focus and get it done, but the long and short of that was, when it was done, I looked at him and I said, wow, man, a guy from DeVry. And he kept saying that too, right? I went to DeVry and I know my stuff and you're just going to go against what your supervisor is saying. Da-da-da-da. But when I was done, I looked at him and I said, wow, a guy from DeVry. And you have a Mac system at home and, you know, the office. Like, how do you not know this is possible? Right? Like, you might not deserve to be here, man. Right?
is DeVry the one where you get off the couch, like the guy says?
But, you know, it was weird. And about a month later, the office manager comes in and she says, hey, Albert, did the CTO mention anything to you about a client calling in and talking about you, like great stuff, all great stuff? He's like, well, if he didn't tell you, I didn't say anything, but he'll tell you soon. And I was like, wow, that's something I didn't even expect. But there's just so many arrogant people out there in the tech world, John, that still don't understand. No one man knows everything.
Yeah, it's, you know, when you read and you get knowledge and stuff like that, it literally goes to your head. And you know, that's part of that phenomenon. But you know, one thing you said, and it's funny because when we were talking on LinkedIn via the messenger, you mentioned a line, it is who you know and your network. And I was going to ask you to expand on that, but you so beautifully already did in that one scenario when you pointed out that you reached out to a contact outside of the job and they basically pointed you in the right direction, and that was able, you know, allowed you to troubleshoot the issue successfully.
Right. And that's crazy because I think for me, what made me, I guess, pioneered through the doubts, because, you know, as techs, we all have our moments when we will say to ourselves, I don't think I'm a good tech, or I think that guy is better than I, you know, we all have the moments of doubt. But the school of hard knocks out there, when I was Ubering, I would just take polls and ask questions and talk to people. And I found, you know, most of the people that I spoke with were traveling and just, I guess, living their best life, if you want to call it that, right? But they were traveling, and I would, you know, ask them, hey, what route did you take? What did you do? And I did about 7,000 trips on the platform, right? And every day I went out there, I made it a point of my duty to ask questions, and just asking random questions. But like, how are you enjoying this field? What made you choose this? How do I get in there? How do I get, you know? And then some of those same persons, I would make it a point of my duty to get them smoothly to connect with me on LinkedIn. You know, I tell them, hey, I'm an aspiring tech, and, you know, some of those folks are still my friends today on LinkedIn. And I started just being more and more, I guess, immersed in the field and surrounding myself with people who are smarter than I am. And that part was, I think, what helped me, like, just pioneered, because being around smarter people, John, it's kind of like when they'll say, hey, show me your five best friends and I could tell you what your salary is, something like that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the same thing in the tech world, right? Show me your five closest associates and I could pretty much tell you what you could do. That type of thing. But when I mentioned Uber, one important thing that I remember, I think I mentioned this to you, was when I was Ubering, I picked this guy up. He was a programmer, data analyst, something. But I was like, he looked at my profile. He was like, wow, man, you got 4.98 stars on the platform with what, 6,000 to 7,000 rides? That's crazy. Right. So leave that part of the conversation. Now I'm talking to him about the tech world. Right. This is was still when I was going to. I'm talking to him and he's like, so you want to get into the tech world? And, you know, have you been applying? Like, not really. But, you know, here and there I do send out a few. He's like, so did you put on your resume all this information about, you know, Uber, you know, how many stars? I'm like, no. He's like, what? He's like, are you crazy? He's like, that's untapped information that you can't change or anyone could change. And it's data and statistics. You need to add to find some way to put that in there. Now, let me parallel that right back to class and what John said, right? This is what John said. This is what John said. No matter what you learned outside of tech, find some way to apply it to your past experience, your experiences. Make it work on your resume. Find some way. And I think I reached out to you and I was like, yo, John, this guy told me to do this. And I went to this next interview. When I went to the interview, the CTO walks out. He says, well, I want to meet this guy, because on his resume, it says he has a 4.98 star rating. And I was like, that's the reason you want to come meet me? He's like, yeah. Because he's like, I use Uber and I can't get over 4.5 stars. So you must be doing your skill set in customer service, I think, is going to rub off on our other techs in here, and we want you. And I was like, okay. He's like, yeah, you're hired. I was like, okay. Not what I expected, but.
You know, I never thought to consider that metric for the Uber and Lyft drivers can be flipped. We always talk about it. I always talk to people and say, hey, look, you never had a tech job before, but you know, you worked in customer service, right? And you know, you flip that, you put that on the resume, and no, it's not technical, but it shows you can deal with customer service and making people have a delightful experience and being receptive and answering their questions and helping them out while under pressure, especially nowadays between COVID and all the Karens out there and all the crazy stuff that you see on social media. You know, working in these public facing roles in these quick transaction environments, it can be brutal. So to maintain that positive face, document it and throw it on the resume and speak towards that in that interview. But the fact that Uber and Lyft has those metrics that say, yeah, 4.9 over 7,000 rides, hell yeah, we're going to hire this guy. This guy is absolutely built for IT support and troubleshooting. Have you seen what he's done for 7,000 rides?
Yeah, and that's crazy, because he looked at me and he was like, look, I know it doesn't seem like a big deal, but you got to understand, Albert, this says that you can deal with multiple personalities no matter how.
Big thank you to information technology analyst Albert Jackson. L, I appreciate your time and insights. As a matter of fact, I'll be dropping more of that conversation in a later episode.
Speaking of episodes, if you like this episode, share it on Twitter, IG, TikTok, or whatever works for you. I appreciate the support in helping word get out about Tech or Die. In the meantime, bonsoiré, or have a great day.